Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
First time we've ever had an NFL doubleheader in the postseason require overtime on either end. The NFC Championship and the AFC Championship both need extra minutes on the clock. And boy, were they completely different outcomes for the team that won the coin flip. So that coin flip argument that you're making, yeah, it doesn't actually apply to both these, just the one. There's a lot to talk about. We've been doing it for the last 3 hours. Excited to have you join us. Happy Manic Monday to you. I know it's a holiday for a lot of people, whether you're a teacher, whether you happen to be federal employees. A lot of you are on forced holiday anyway. But the idea is that our audience is different. And that we'll have people who are listening this morning that might not otherwise be listening. And the audience on holidays very often has more time to spend listening as well, too, because you're not so concerned about getting to bed or waking up early. So hello to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I've tweeted a plethora of thoughts about this championship Sunday, and I believe the action, the two games we had, were worthy of a championship Sunday. And I'm sad for you if all you're taking away is, oh, the refs missed this call. Oh, the refs are terrible. These were two really competitive, highly entertaining games. I was having heart palpitations. Not to mention, the overtimes completely changed my dinner schedule, but, you know, it's not all about me. And so the AFC Championship, this is a game in which we had a rematch of Week 6. Remember, Week 6, Gillette Stadium, Patriots and Chiefs score 30 points in the fourth quarter. Oh, well, they had an encore for their AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. And as much as the Vegas line would point to the Patriots as underdogs, and as much as Tom Brady wants to play up that angle, he's not going to be able to do that, by the way, with the Super Bowl. I don't know if you've noticed, but the Pats are early favorites in Atlanta. So I guess that gets rid of the whole underdog mess. Anyway, as much as he would like to point to that, I don't think that's how I felt going into this game, because there's no shortcut for experience. And the brilliant coaching, the brilliant game plan that was executed, not to perfection, but as well as they needed to, I think shows the experience of the Patriots. They've got a bunch of guys, including their quarterback, who are versatile and can either play the up-tempo, quick snap offense, trying to catch the defense off guard, or in this particular case, it was a ball control game. What's the best way to keep Pat Mahomes from doing damage? What's the best way to keep Pat Mahomes from throwing four touchdowns against you like he did at Gillette Stadium? Well, you don't give him the ball. And the final stats, I think overtime was kind of a microcosm of it, but the final stats, they reveal this brilliant ball control game. And we'll get to the numbers coming up. But for the Patriots, from the opening kick, I kind of felt like, despite what Vegas would tell you, they were the favorites because of all the experience they brought to the table. Been there, done that, have done it over and over and over again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Their first drive against the Chiefs, methodical and steady and balanced and efficient, and that healthy dose of Sony Michel, it looked almost exactly like what we got against the Chargers a week ago in the divisional round. So Kansas City barely has the ball in the first quarter. The numbers were, they were staggering. 123 yards for the Pats to minus 11 yards for the Chiefs in the first quarter on their own field. 10-1 first downs in favor of the Patriots. Now, there was a little life there when Reggie Ragland snags a Brady throw in the end zone and prevents the Patriots from going up 14-0 in that first quarter. But for the longest time, the Kansas City offense could do absolutely nothing. They don't get a first down. They give the ball right back to the Pats. That touchdown right before halftime, too, talk about a gut punch. Patriots get the ball back with 3:08 left in the second quarter, and it's all Sony Michel, and it's all James White, and it's ground and pound. It's the run game that has worked so effectively for the Patriots over the last month. But then you get this Philip Dorsett double move in the end zone, and he catches the throw that's on the money from Brady. It's a 90-yard drive in the final 3 minutes. And to me, oh, talk about taking all the air out of the stadium as well as out of the Chiefs' locker room. So they're down 14-0 at half, and again, the stats are so completely lopsided. Not that I didn't think that the Chiefs would have anything coming out of the locker room, but can you recover from that hole? Can you recover from being down 14-0 halfway through this game? Now, start of the second half, it was quick. It was efficient. Four plays, and the Chiefs are on the board. There was a bomb to Sammy Watkins. Travis Kelce catches the TD, and I thought, okay, that's what they need to do. They've got to use these weapons. But the Patriots are able to eat up more time off the clock, able to wear down that Chiefs defense yet again, and they're still up by double figures to wrap up the third. They get a 47-yard field goal from Steven Gostkowski. The fourth quarter then turns into what we saw the fourth quarter during the regular season, and it's really a fantastic quarter for Damian Williams. Three scores for the Chiefs running back, even though they didn't have a ton of running yards. So they're putting pressure on the Patriots, and they're kind of forcing the issue to continue scoring because the Chiefs are coming, and you got that sense. And I thought it was interesting, too. We'll get to some of the highlights here. What we always think about with Tom Brady, you give him enough time left on the clock, and he's gonna make you pay. At the end of a half, at the end of overtime, or at the end of regulation, or at overtime, I guess. You give him enough time, give him an inch, and the guy's going to take a mile. This is what has made his legend. This is what has made him a winner, is that in those moments with everything hanging in the balance, if you give him an opening, he's going to knock down the door. And so I thought it was kind of cool at the end of the fourth quarter, you got a little bit of that handoff. Now, we're not talking about the baton, you know, it's not one era to the next yet, because Pat Mahomes did not get to the Super Bowl. It's still Tom Brady. But the idea was that, uh-oh, there's still 36 seconds left on the clock for Pat Mahomes. And so, yeah, it was kind of neat to see Mahomes and the Chiefs' offense respond. Though the Patriots' ball control game just took a major toll on the Chiefs. And that was something they started back in the first quarter and continued all the way through the game to the point at which it was a major advantage for them once they got to overtime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So again, it was the Damian Williams fourth quarter, but they still needed a big kick from the leg of Harrison Butker to force overtime.
Play fake. They're going to run a screen near side. Damian Williams set up 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City. A perfectly called screen by Big Red. A 23-yard touchdown. The Chiefs have their first lead of the night in this AFC Championship game. Winchester is the long snapper, the pride of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. Colquitt puts the placement down. Butker's kick. This can't be more perfect. The Chiefs have tied the game at 8 seconds remaining in regulation on a spectacular, beautiful 39-yard field goal to tie the game at 31-31.
It was spectacular and it was beautiful for Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs radio network. So again, you give Pat Mahomes a little bit of an opening and he's going to knock down that door. I don't know what the future holds for Mahomes or for Andy Reid or for the Chiefs, but I do believe that if he stays healthy, he could very well be in this situation again. And this is a painful lesson. It's a painful experience. But like the Patriots, who have gleaned all this experience, they haven't taken any shortcuts. The Chiefs have to go through the growing pains as well. But it was kind of cool to see them step up to that challenge, do what they did at Gillette Stadium during the regular season, and at least force the issue when they were hanging on to shreds of hope there at the end of regulation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A couple of things. The D. Ford offsides penalty. Ouch. He didn't jump. He lined up offsides. And there's a flag that negates what would have been a game-saving interception. At that point, it was 31-28 in favor of the Chiefs. And as you can imagine, he feels like crap, no doubt. It's one of those deals where he had to know where he was, and he just made an egregious error. And so the Chiefs have their interception taken off the board. They go into overtime, and the coin flip is in favor of the Patriots, and this is where a lot of the, I'll call it the second layer of controversy, because of course in the NFC Championship, it's about that missed pass interference call, and we'll get to that coming up in 10 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. But the Patriots winning the coin flip and not giving the ball to the Pat Mahomes Chiefs offense at any point, again, a continuation of what they'd been doing all game. That final drive, 15 plays. 15 plays. It wasn't the coin that converted on three separate third and tens.
Right to the right of Brady, who drops in the gun between the hashes. Two receivers left, single wide right. Brady gets the shot and snap. Four-man rush. Brady will throw over the middle. Edelman open. He's got it at midfield and falls forward to the 45 of Kansas City. 20-yard pickup on third and 10. Julian Edelman wide open over the middle. Patriots have converted four straight on third down. This is third and 10 at the Chiefs 45. Two receivers to either side. Brady to throw, sets, throws over the middle. Edelman's got it again. And a first down slanting from right to left to the 30-yard line. He picks up 15. Charvarius Ward with the tackle. But again, Julian Edelman converts on third and long. Third and 10 coming up for New England. Their third and 10 of this drive. They've converted the previous two.
Well, they're 12 of 18 on the day. They've dominated this down, whether it's short yardage or long yardage. Last time it was a slant to Edelman.
Edelman is in the slot to the right. One of three receivers to the right side. On third and 10, Brady throws. It's a slant to Gronkowski, who makes the catch at the 20 and then falls forward to the 15. Eric Berry with the ankle tackle, but a 15-yard pickup. And another third and 10 conversion. That's three third and 10 conversions on this drive for Tom Brady.
So tell me again how the coin flip won the game. Gosh, come on. That's taking away from what the Patriots did on that drive. They were surgical. And Tony Romo called it. Those two to Julian Edelman over the middle, he could see it coming. The Chiefs' defense was gassed. And I mean worn out. It was a 15-play drive to start the game. But that set the tone immediately. In overtime, 13 plays, 75 yards, almost 5 minutes. And by the end of it, the Chiefs' defense is worn out. And Brady was too. He even said to Evan Washburn on CBS after the game, "I'm exhausted." It's a lot of snaps. 94 plays for the Pats. But they had been doing it all game long. The brilliance of the ball control. And when they get into overtime, you see the experience come through, not just Brady, but Edelman, the tough catches from him and from Rob Gronkowski. He'd become a big-time blocker over the last month, but had some huge catches. And then Rex Burkhead, the last three snaps of the game to be able to close it out. And the Patriots heading to their third consecutive Super Bowl.
Waddle checks in, an extra tackle.
It's all your bigs.
Devlin is in. Burkhead,
Allen
behind him. Allen to the left along with Gronkowski. Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak with the Patriots call. Before that, Kevin Kugler on Westwood One with the three third down conversions in overtime. So their third consecutive Super Bowl. They're the third team in NFL history to achieve that feat. For Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, their ninth Super Bowl as a dynamic duo and the 11th for the Patriots as a franchise. And this is kind of a neat anniversary as well. On this Monday morning, it's the 25th anniversary of Bob Kraft purchasing the Patriots and completely changing their future and the fortunes of that franchise. And so congratulations to Bob Kraft and to Belichick and Brady, and the guys will be going to their first Super Bowl, as well as the guys who will feel like this is old hat, like your comfy pair of slippers and your favorite pair of sweatpants at home. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up next, the NFC Championship, where the team that won the coin flip in overtime didn't actually win the game. So take your coin flip arguments and stick them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jake McQuaid will send it back. Johnny Hecker has the hold. They're ready. Here it comes. Zuerlein hits it with the right foot, and his kick is good! Good from 48 with 15 seconds left to tie it. 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down. The kick clears the line, and Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl! L.A. will play for the Lombardi. Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime. 26-23. It's over. And the Superdome is silent.
Just so happy for these players, for these coaches. But a lot of respect for the Saints. And, you know, we're excited about getting a chance to move on and play in Atlanta. Wow.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sean McVay was the youngest NFL head coach ever to win a playoff game. And now he's got his Rams headed to a Super Bowl in his second season as their fearless leader. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Lost in all of the hullabaloo and the uproar, the criticism of the missed pass interference call, which we'll get to, are the massive kicks that Greg Zuerlein made with the game literally hanging in the balance. So first, you hear J.B. Long on the Rams Radio Network with the kick that forced overtime. So he has to make a 48-yarder just to get to the extra period, and then a 57-yarder. I don't care if you're in a dome. That is not automatic. So congratulations to Greg Zuerlein. Wow, what a moment. Biggest kicks of his career. And he is one of our candidates. Thank you, Coach, for Monday MVP. You can find that on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. So this was a game in which the Saints had a 13-0 lead, and you can imagine how they're feeling now. Missed opportunities and the defense not able to come up with a stop, really, in the fourth quarter or in overtime. So I need you to brace yourself. I need you to just hang on to something. White knuckles if you have to, if you're driving, because this could be hard to hear. But the New Orleans Saints did not lose the NFC Championship on the missed pass interference call inside the final 2 minutes of regulation. Yes, it was a blown call. And you'll hear from Sean Payton in a second, as well as Nickell Robey-Coleman, who flat out admits he wasn't turning around to look at the football. He'll just tell you. But that's not why the Saints lost. Yes, it was a terrible moment for the officiating crew and for the NFL. And I really believe, even though I've heard this is not going to be the case, I really believe the league needs to issue a statement saying the call was missed. Does it change anything? No. Does it make the Saints feel better? Absolutely not. Is it integrity and accountability and transparency? Yes. And if you want to, try to keep up a relationship with your players, too, I think it's important to admit that you screwed up. But again, not the reason the Saints lost. They could have scored a TD instead of settling for a field goal on multiple trips inside the red zone. They didn't. They could have run more time off the clock on that possession. They didn't. They could have come up with a defensive stop when Jared Goff got the ball back. They didn't. The Rams racked up 212 yards of offense in fourth quarter and overtime. 212 yards against the Saints D in their own house. The Saints could have capitalized on winning the coin flip to start OT like the Patriots did, except Drew Brees threw an interception, a bad interception. He has Dante Fowler draped all over him, and he throws the ball anyway. And John Johnson, who's laying on the turf, has the ball drop right into his breadbasket. The Saints could have protected that 13-0 lead and used the opportunities they had, but they didn't. They were 2-for-5 in the red zone. So as much as it's the popular opinion on this Monday morning to say that the refs blew this game for the Saints, I couldn't disagree more. As much as that was a terrible look and a terrible moment for the NFL, I'll agree with that 100 times. They blew the call. But the Rams deserve every bit of this trip to the Super Bowl. They earned it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. As for the blown call, Sean Payton was already talking to the NFL and their VP of officiating, Al Riveron, before he even hit the postgame press conference.
Obviously, it's a disappointing way to lose a game. It's frustrating, you know, just getting off the phone with the league office. They blew the call, and that call puts it 1st and 10. We're on an E3 plays. It's a game-changing call. It was simple. They blew the call. They said it should never have not been a call. They said not only was it interference, it was helmet to helmet. There were two calls. They couldn't believe it. So that was... No, we spoke initially, then I called to follow up, and the first thing Al said when I got on the phone, we messed it up.
After that, listen, you're going to play ball, you know, just like you would throughout the season when something like that might happen, or a call goes your way or it doesn't. You're on to the next play, right? You can't let it bother you. So it had no bearing on overtime.
So Drew Brees says it has no bearing on overtime. It was, by the way, his first interception that was thrown in the playoffs in overtime. And that's got to be the one that he will think about over and over again, because he's not a guy who's going to pass the buck. And he knows the Saints could have done a lot more to protect this lead. And they had multiple opportunities that they didn't take advantage of. There is a built-in advantage to being inside the Superdome, and they didn't use it, not after the first quarter. The first quarter really lopsided, but you look at the final stats, the Rams scratched, clawed, and pulled themselves back into this one and forced overtime. First Super Bowl for the Rams since the 2001 season. Remember Kurt Warner? Actually, you might not remember if you're new to the NFL scene or if you're younger. Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, the greatest show on turf. Who was their opponent in the 2001 Super Bowl? Oh, I'll give you a second. So third season back in Los Angeles and their first trip to the Super Bowl in nearly 2 decades. The legend of Sean McVay, it grows. Too bad there are, I guess there is one more opening that hasn't been spoken for yet, though it seems like the Dolphins are going to cherry pick someone off the Patriots staff. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish is in studio. I'm going to do a pivot and change the subject because I have good news. Well, good news for you. Not good news for me so much. In fact, we'll just call it news.
We can go home today?
I'm going home in a half an hour. So yes, we do get to go home today. I spoke to my friend in the Maryland State Police, because you know the plunge is coming up on Friday, the polar bear plunge.
That's right.
For Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, has anyone ever used a GoPro to film their plunge into the water? And he writes back, he's really snarky, funny. He's like, every single manner of technology has been used. He said, cameras, cell phones, GoPros. He said, we even have drones flying overhead. They have drones flying. Why? Why would you need a drone
it's
flying
2017.
Overhead?
And no, now it's 18. Not. And now 19.
Whoa. It's a manic Monday for you, huh?
Well, I was still thinking it was 2018, which means the 2018 polar plunge hasn't happened yet. So in 2017, they had drones, but it's now 2019.
I got
so
you, man.
2018.
Okay. I got you. Good. I'm on your side.
Thank you.
So anyway, the point is, he believes that no one will actually take my word for it that I did the plunge, so there needs to be video. And he asked me, would you like a GoPro? Now, I don't know that I can respond to that honestly with a yes. However, I believe that there will be video evidence. Now, whether I choose to share it, that's entirely different.
So we're going to have evidence of you, like a GoPro going forward, or you're going to hook it that it comes back to your face?
Well, I'm not sure. It's either going to be a GoPro. No, it wouldn't be hooked back to my face. It would be of me going in. You would hear me, of course, going
okay,
in.
Okay, and
it would
see the splashing in front
right,
of you.
And going underwater, I
like
guess.
Like a random knee or arm flailing in front of us.
Don't worry. You will hear me screaming, and you will know that it is me. I'm not going in gracefully, even a little bit. Or maybe there'll be drone footage. So I don't know necessarily if it's going to be a GoPro, because I'm not purchasing one. I work on a radio salary here. So it's not like I'm going to go purchase one for this. However, it sounds like video can be arranged.
Then we all win.
Well,
yeah.
Only maybe I'll only share with those people who donate. How about
I mean,
that?
Audio is the key. The audio is of you. Fearing sudden hypothermic death.
This is going to be awful.
That's what we need.
Not to mention, it's going to be three of the coldest days of the year. Of the season right now. So, you know, they're going to be icebergs floating in the water. Last chance to join me.
Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you, though.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
...57-yarder for the Super Bowl. Ball put down. Right-footed kick is up. End over end, arching up, and it is caught! He got it! The Rams win! The Rams are going to the Super Bowl. The Los Angeles Rams have come back. And the first time they've taken a lead is on the game-winning field goal.
Axe in the eye. Second and goal at the two. Motion across from Allen. Back to the left side goes Allen. Brady under center. Turns. Gives to Burkhead. Hole on the left side. He's in. Burkhead is in for the touchdown. And with an overtime touchdown run by Rex Burkhead, the dynasty continues for the New England Patriots. They're going to their third straight Super Bowl. 37-31. New England knocks off Kansas City on their way to Super Bowl 53.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Harlan on the NFC Championship, Kevin Kugler on the AFC Championship. The final calls from New Orleans and Kansas City on the Westwood One Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I can't help but giggle at all of the people who are yelling at me about how the coin flip decided the game. So does that only apply in the AFC? So it's just an AFC coin flip thing? It's not an NFC coin flip thing? In case you're wondering about the stats, it's roughly 55% of the time that the team who wins the coin flip in overtime ends up winning the game. So there is a slight advantage, but it's not a foregone conclusion. And I believe those stats are right in line with what we saw on Championship Sunday. 50-50. One team with the coin flip used that opportunity and scored. The other team did not.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
There's a huge chance. It was the first time in NFL playoff history we've ever had two championship games go into overtime, or any two NFL games going to overtime on the same day in the playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you could save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Mark on our Facebook page says he's boycotting this year's Super Bowl and will instead be binge-watching the latest season of American Horror Story. Both our horror shows. I saw another post on our Facebook page that said the ratings for this year's Super Bowl will be awful. Yeah, I disagree with that. It certainly is some fatigue when it comes to the same team winning over and over. We see that with the Warriors. Heck, I said it last year. I don't want to see the Warriors and the Cavaliers anymore. I want some fresh blood. But you get the fresh blood when it comes to the Rams. Again, their first Super Bowl going back to the 01 season as a franchise. A lot of new faces there, though you've also got some Super Bowl winners in that locker room with now C.J. Anderson, Wade Phillips, Aqib Talib. You've got guys that have been around the block, but you've got fresh faces and fresh blood there too. Fact is, though, the Super Bowl now gets the Los Angeles market with a direct interest. We're not talking about casual fans that, hey, might tune in. Yes, L.A. is a fair weather city when it comes to its teams in a lot of cases, not in every case. They love winners. They support the winning teams. They get on board when their teams are making noise. Well, you can't make more noise than getting to a Super Bowl. And so having the number two media market in the country with fans who have relevance and who care about the game, I think that's going to make a big difference. So I don't think you're going to see ratings plummet in any way, shape, or form. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to JJ, who's in New Orleans. JJ, welcome.
Hi, Amy. Forgive me in advance. Suddenly I feel nervous talking to you. You're saying yesterday how you cautiously used the word celebrity. And, well, for some of us fans, we listen to you every night. And to me, you are a celebrity. And here I am talking to you now. And I'm like, I hope I don't forget everything I want to tell you.
Well, can I just tell you something really quick? Don't be nervous. In fact, know that I appreciate the fact you're the only Saints fan who's called in, JJ. So whatever you need to say, I'm listening.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you pointed out all of the other reasons that the Saints did that prevented them from winning. It helps me. It's like therapy to me to hear somebody from a non-bias say stuff like that. So that kind of helped level me out some. But what hurts the most is the call was out of the control of the Saints. They didn't do that. They didn't mess that up. It was the officials that messed that up. I could swallow the pill last year, you know, when Marcus Williams missed the tackle in Minnesota.
Yep.
I could swallow that. I know that we messed that up. But for the officials to mess that up, like, we can't do anything to correct that. As a team, they can. And not only, like, had that call been made, we would have had the ball at the three-yard line, first and goal at the three with a minute 51 left, and we could have run the ball. We could have run the clock down. They had, like, one timeout left.
Mm-hmm.
So with everything that you said earlier, it doesn't necessarily make it better because it was out of our hands.
And well, that was one moment, though, JJ. I understand how you feel, and it's frustrating, but it's like real life, isn't it? Sports is a microcosm of real life. There's only so much we can control, and sometimes things happen to us and things happen around us that are completely out of our control, and it can be frustrating, and we can choose to focus on it. We can choose to obsess over it, and yes, that particular moment was egregious. It was a mistake that was made. It's a part of football. There were other missed calls. There was a missed face mask call on Jared Goff. I mean, there were other missed calls in that game. So I know it's frustrating, but at the same time, the Saints had opportunities. They certainly controlled what they did with the ball in overtime when they got it. And you don't often see a choice like that, a decision like that from Drew Brees to throw a ball up in the air like that, that essentially is up for grabs is what I mean to say. And so they had their opportunities to win it. And I appreciate that Brees is saying, that didn't affect us in overtime. That's not why we lost in OT.
No, you're right. But I appreciate that. And Brees' throw is like the definition of a dying duck right there.
I shouldn't be laughing at dying ducks. I don't know why that's funny.
And how appropriate that we have a blood moon tonight for Saints fans. To look up in the sky and see that and think, every time I'm going to think of a blood moon, I'm always going to remember this night.
Oh, gosh. Well, here's the deal. Drew Brees is going back to play for his 19th season, he said. He said he fully expects to go back and make another run at it. And as much as this hurts, and now 2 years in a row, at least he's not leaving on this note. So that makes me happy as someone who loves Drew Brees.
Yeah, and I agree. I welcome him back every year he comes back.
All right.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Good for you, Saints fan, JJ. It's one of the first. I've heard from a couple on Twitter, but definitely the first one that we've gotten on a call. Let's see. Johnny's in Marietta, Georgia. Welcome to After Hours. Johnny, got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, did you see when Bill Belichick slammed his Microsoft Surface tablet to the ground?
I did.
And then picks it up and sidearm frisbee throws into the back? He went on to win the game without technology. I think that you can win the polar plunge without using any technology.
You don't care if there's video evidence?
No way. He didn't care. He called those players off the mind. He didn't need technology. You don't need either, Amy.
I just love that Bill Belichick was throwing a temper tantrum. I mean, you don't often see him lose his cool like that, but it was kind of funny to get a glimpse inside the emotions that were roiling through his body.
It's an endorsement, too. He showed the durability of that tablet, honestly.
Thanks for your call, Johnny. I appreciate it.
See ya.
Let's quick talk to Rick in Vancouver. Again, same thing, 60 seconds.
Okay, Amy. I just wanted to talk about the reffing. Those games were awesome. But in spite of the reffing, like it was so frustrating because I know the NFL is trying to do the right thing. They're trying to get the calls right, but they're still not doing it. Up here in the Canadian League, you can do a coach's challenge on pass interference on that one play, the New Orleans play. There was lots of missed calls. Gronkowski was getting tackled out there so much. I couldn't believe that there was no calls on him.
Well, I kind of couldn't believe the roughing the passer call that was called against the Chiefs when Tom Brady barely got touched. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, it was. There were a couple of that drive me nuts, but essentially the way I always look at it is that it evens out in the wash. There are missed calls for both teams in each game, or calls that I don't think should have been made in each game. You can only control what you can control. And the Patriots ended up, you know, doing exactly what they needed to do to win this game. They didn't leave it in the hands of the referees. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. The refs are not perfect. However, they are still in the mid-90s in terms of 90% to 95% in terms of how many calls they get right, which people don't believe me when I say it, but those are the stats.
It just seemed like I just thought that was two of the worst refereeing games I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, and
the games were still good in spite of it.
They were. People say that to me every single year. I don't know how much worse it can get. You would think the refs didn't make any calls correct at all. But yes, I continue to hear, these are the worst officials in the history of the league. Rick, thank you so much for your phone call from Vancouver. I appreciate it. I got to tell you, in addition to Tom Brady getting roughing the passer call on a guy who, you know, like barely touched him, I was like, he's 41. He's not frail. The other thing that made me laugh so hard was Julian Edelman being forced to argue that he completely screwed up in order to convince the refs that he did not touch a ball that kind of went, that ball in the punt that kind of went flying right by him. He actually had to argue to the referees that he completely whiffed, that he did his job extremely poorly. Oh, the irony that he had to argue he sucked on that play in order to get the call. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.